All right. Now, we got all that out of the way. So let's stand. Let's read the scriptures. All right. Very thankful for you being here tonight. And I know you're tired. And appreciate you being here. And it is a blessing to me. It's a blessing to Pastor Bill when he's preaching for you to be here. And it's evident that you love the Lord by being here on a Wednesday. You could easily stay home, take a nap, eat supper, go to bed, work in your yard, do whatever you need to do, but you're here, and I appreciate that. Let's look at verse 13 of chapter 2. It says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Let's pray together, may we? Our Father God, we are truly thankful that you have brought us here tonight. Very thankful, Father, for those ladies that work so diligently in our offices to make this place, this large ministry click. We're very thankful for every one of them. And Father, I pray now that you would bless them for their efforts and for their dedication to the Lord's work. Father, I pray now that you would bless this this upcoming 35, 40 minutes that we have to gather in your word. I do ask and I pray that you would bless. I ask and I pray that you would use me as your servant. I pray that I would take no pride at all in what is going to be said and what is going to be done and how you're going to do it. But I want you to get all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for what is going to be done tonight. And we come to you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, now let's get right to it tonight. We're going to talk about the Christian's role in government. The Christian's role in government. This is a very, very crucial time in our nation because it is election time. We got the primary coming up in just a little under 2 weeks, I believe. 2 weeks from yesterday, I believe. And in fact, I believe in some areas of the county, you can go ahead and begin to vote early. And I know downtown at the Board of Elections building downtown, you can go ahead and go down there and vote early. But tonight we're going to talk about two questions tonight. Number one, how should believers respond to the social structures of his, her day? And since Christ is our Lord, should the Christian ignore human and governmental institutions? We're going to talk about those things tonight. You know, there are some people that say, "I'm a believer in Christ and I don't have to obey the government." There are some people that say, "I'm a believer in Christ, and Christ is my Lord, so I shouldn't have to pay taxes." There are some people that say, "Because I live in a government that has legalized abortion and legalized all these other things, they are against God's word, so I shouldn't pay taxes. In fact, I should cease to exist. I should just crawl into a atomic bomb bunker and cease to exist." There are some people that believe that. We're going to approach that tonight. We're going to tackle that. Is that biblical? Now, before we go into those two questions, let's look at the historical background of the government that the Apostle Paul had to live in. I hope you'll write these things down. Or at the very least, maybe go back and bring this sermon up and then write these things down on a journal or something of that nature. The church and the believers during Paul's day, Peter's day, the apostles' day, were being severely persecuted by the government and society of that day. Think of this for a moment. How many has ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Maybe bits and pieces of it. It tells you in the very, very clear detail what was going on during the days of Nero and during the days of the Roman government. Just come across my mind. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger there in 1 Peter. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at the very last part of Hebrews 11, and I'm sure Pastor will speak on this probably quite in depth when he gets to this portion of Hebrews 11 on Sunday evenings, and I'd like to challenge you to be here for that. Verse 33, it says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder." Now, how would you like, think about this for a moment, you're told, either deny Christ or you'll be sawed in half while you're still alive. That's something to think about, isn't it? "We're tempted. We're slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." But I love this. "Of whom the world was not worthy." The world was not even worthy to have these types of saints living on the earth. "They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." This is what these people were having to go through. Now, I want to read to you an article that Pastor Bill gave to me today. I want to read to you. The question is this: what is your reasonable service? In America, we have been so profoundly blessed as a nation that we may sometimes forget how incredible our blessings are and the magnitude of the liberties that we enjoy every day. Our nation is now in a great challenge of decisions concerning the religious liberties that our future will or will not hold. But we never forget, may we never forget how great our freedoms are and what a painful price others pay for the liberties we enjoy. Earl E. Lee has been a friend of mine for many years. Well, this is told to David Gibbs from CLA. "One Sunday evening after church, he came up to me and shared this story. I had preached in part that evening on your reasonable service. Here is what he shared. What a privilege my wife and I had in August of 1991 when we hosted a group of 8 people to go to Russia. In fact, we left America the day the Russian coup was the front page headlines and our morning newspaper stating Gorbachev was out and Yeltsin became the new leader of Russia. We saw the tanks in Red Square in Moscow. When the tanks left, we traveled by train to Moscow. The following Sunday, we had the privilege of sharing in the first open service the underground church was able to hold after 30 years of meeting in secret." Think of this. Listen to this sentence. "The service was 5.5 hours long. But no one noticed its length because of the sharing of God's grace to them that they experienced during the persecution. A pastor was called up to share his testimony. He started by saying he did not want to share for fear of getting any glory to himself, but the group of underground pastors wanted his testimony shared. He told how he was saved and called to preach. The Russian authorities found out and wanted him to stop preaching or threatened he would lose his job. Your jobs are assigned to you in Russia. He refused to quit preaching, even though the church could not pay him a salary and he lost his job. At that time, he and his wife had 3 young children. The authorities arrested him and put him in jail 4 different times and demanded that he deny Jesus and stop preaching. Each time he refused to deny Christ and pledged his word that he would not stop preaching. He was arrested a 5th time, and they told him that this time they would make him deny Jesus and quit preaching. They brought his oldest child in and put her in front of him and told him that if he did not sign that he would deny Jesus and quit preaching, they would literally put hot pokers in both of his daughter's ears and make her deaf, and then they would pull her tongue out and cut it off to make her dumb. While standing there looking at his daughter and thinking of the consequence, his daughter looked up at him and said, 'Daddy, don't you deny Jesus for me.' He didn't, and they literally put hot pokers in her ears and cut her tongue out. They put him in prison, and after a while they brought his next oldest child in, and because he would not sign to deny Christ and stop preaching, they did the same to her. They kept him in prison still longer, and after a while they brought his third oldest child in and did the same to her. They eventually let him out of prison. I noticed that while he was sharing his testimony, there were three adult families sitting together and someone was signing to them in sign language. After the long service was over, I asked our interpreter if they were his older children, and she said yes. I asked if we could go and ask them a question. She arranged for us to do that. The signer told them that I wanted to ask them a question, and they said, okay. I asked them, are you not bitter at God? Immediately, three sets of hands began to move in unison, and with smiles on their faces, they signed, it was just our reasonable service. What a price these precious ladies paid for the cause of Christ. How incredible their spirit is after all they were subjected to. But indeed, we are all by command of Scripture to be living sacrifices. And while I pray that we will never have to face in our beloved America what they faced, with the challenges to our faith that we do face, are we willing to be Christians that we are supposed to be? It is our reasonable service. To think for a moment of what these people were going through. How would you, as a father, be dragged down to the Colosseum in Rome and see your wife and your children being taken into the Colosseum and their bodies dragged to death by lions? Or your body being tied up in a sack with poisonous snakes in that sack and being eaten alive by snakes. That's what they went through. But yet, they never denied Christ. In fact, revival happened. Next thing is this. Not only were they severely persecuted by the government and society of the day, the Christians were being forced to flee their homes, their property, their money, their clothes, and professions. So here's a question. What was to be the attitude and behavior of God's people towards this type of government? I'm just going to be honest and frank with you. The patriot in me would say, I'm going to go get my gun and I'm going to fight. That's the patriot in me. But when we begin to really look at this patches tonight, that is the last thing that should be on our mind. And I'm going to be honest with you, I really had to, there was a lot of tugging here as I prepared this, because the patriot in me, the Tea Partier in me, wants to just stand up and say, hey, no, that's not right. But yet, these people live in a society and a government that was anything but Christian. I mean, at least we still have the Pledge of Allegiance under God in our Pledge of Allegiance. To them, if they were to say under God, they were immediately sent to prison, because you could not swear allegiance to anyone other than Caesar. So what is to be the attitude and behavior of God's people towards this type of government? We're going to look at two things tonight. First thing is this. Can you go back for me, Stephen? I'm sorry, I went too fast. Number one, as Christians, we are to submit to national and local officials. Go back one more, if you would. And then number two, as Christians, we are to live as free citizens, yet as servants of God. First thing is this. Number one, if you write this down, as Christians, we are to submit to national and local officials. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. Submit yourselves. Underline those two words. Submit yourselves to every ordinance. Doesn't say some. Doesn't say a few. It doesn't say a couple. It says every ordinance. Let me paraphrase that. Every speed limit sign. Every do not litter sign. Every ordinance. Every law. We don't get to cherry pick. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be good or whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him. Who is him? God. For the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now let's look at that word submit. It comes from a military term, which means to put yourself underneath the rank under. I do not need to explain what that means in military terms, because I think about three-fourths of you in here are either active duty military or you have been active duty military at one time. But it means to arrange under, to subordinate, to subject, or put in subjection. To subject oneself to obey. Look at this one. This was difficult. To submit to one's control. To yield to one's admonition or advice, to obey, to be subject, and note the next word, every. We already discussed that. But the Scriptures are very clear there. Submit yourselves to, say that next word with me, every. To every ordinance. Now, a couple of things underneath that. If everyone was not to submit to every ordinance, what would be the result? Think of this for a moment. What would be the result if we didn't have any laws in America? What? Yes, chaos. What would be the result if we had no ordinances for mankind to live by in our nation? Well, there would be lawlessness. There would be a lack of safety. There would be an abuse and attacks by other nations. So those of you that are following a politician that says, you know, we just need to do away with our military, well, you know what? They are going against what God's Word says, because God's Word says you need to have yourself a military to protect yourself from abuse and attacks by other nations. You've got to have a law. You've got to have those things of protection. No property would be safe. Anybody could just come in and just knock down your door and take whatever you have, and there would be nothing. There would absolutely be nothing that you could do about it, because there is no law. No public roads, no transportation system, no water system, no sewage, no electrical systems, no police, fire, EMS, protection. Now listen for a moment. Now I am against overtaxation just as much as you are. But taxes is what pays for your roads. Taxes is what pays the salary of your policeman. Taxes is what pays for your firemen and your police and your EMS people, for your military. It is your taxes that pay that. Now, I understand there's abuses in government, abuses by our tax system. I understand that. But as a citizen of America, you're commanded to pay your taxes. And not only are we commanded by our nation to pay our taxes, we are commanded by God to pay our taxes. So think of this for a moment. If everyone was not to submit, that is the result. We'd have lawlessness, chaos, basically anarchy. So here's the key point. Without law and order, There can be no society, no community, and no life to enjoy. Look at what Solomon said in Proverbs 24, 21 and 22. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? So be very careful, folks, when you want to get involved with an organization that wants to overthrow the government. Because what you are doing is you are saying to God, I'm being insubmissive to you because I'm being insubmissive to the government that you have sovereignty in his, in your sovereignty placed here. That's it. And in listening to John MacArthur a couple of months ago, he was speaking on this subject, and he said in interviews that he has had with Russian pastors that were in the Iron Curtain, they said, we did not want to ever go against our government because we knew that our government was placed there by God. Now, these are people that probably had every right because of religious freedom to stand up to their government, but they didn't, because they had come to a realization and they practiced in their life that government is ordained by God. The government is ordained by God. Let's look at the next thing. Three things here, verses 13 through 15. Number one, civil rulers are sent by God. That policeman that is sitting there on the side of the road with that little radar thing is sent there by God. So if you get caught speeding, don't get mad at the police officer. Don't get mad at him. Get mad at yourself. Okay? Get mad at yourself because you were speeding. And he was sent there by God to catch you. Civil rulers are sent by God. Next thing is this. Civil authorities execute justice for God. They rule to reward good citizens and to punish evildoers. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. One through five. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, once again, the kind of government that Paul and Peter lived in was nothing but, I mean, it was nowhere close to being a civil government towards Christians. But yet, Paul says here, be subject unto that higher government, because God has ordained that government. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the government, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to do thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. You know, don't go down the road and every 3 or 4 miles, keep looking over your shoulder to see if police is there. You know, very simple. Obey the speed limit. Very simple. Don't worry about getting your house being taken away by the foreclosure by the county. Pay your property taxes. Just simply be a good citizen. Do those things. You know, it's funny tonight that I'm seeing all the wives shaking their heads. And the husbands are like, ooh. I was watching, I think it was Dateline or one of those a couple of years ago, and they went through a 24-hour period of a man who was being executed in Louisiana. And I thought it was kind of funny. They gave a man a physical exam before he was to get executed. I couldn't figure that one out. I guess they were scared he'd die before he could get executed. I don't know. But, they gave him a fig, you know, and they went to his last meal, and he was sitting there eating his last meal with the warden. You know, they were sitting there eating together. And they asked the warden this question. They said, "Don't you feel some sort of remorse that you are fixing to put a man to death?" And he simply said, just as plain, he said, "No." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'm an agent of God. Because God has ordained the government, and I'm just simply doing what the government has told me to do. And I'm an agent of the government, and the government is an agent of God." And number three, the believer's good behavior is to silence the critics of Christ. Let's look at verse 15. "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." May it not be said of Christians that you don't pay your taxes. May it not be said of Christians that we try to overthrow the government. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things. Luckily, still in America, we can still vote. We can still go down in our Republican form of government and still go down to the voting booth and vote. We can still do those things. But to publicly have an outcry of rebellion and overthrow of our government is not only wrong, it's against God's word. Just as simple as that. See, by you being a good citizen of supporting your government, listen, you may not agree with everything President Obama is doing, but you are commanded by Scripture. You are commanded by Scripture to pray for him and to support him as your president. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you have to agree with him. There are right ways and wrong ways. If there is a policy he's trying to put forth, call your congressman, call your senator, write a letter. Pray that God will change his heart and his mind. But the Scripture is very clear that God directs the hearts and minds of kings. Very clear. May it be said of us as believers that we are good citizens of America. Look at what Christ said, had to say about paying our taxes. They say unto him, "Caesar's." Now, remember what the verses were before? They brought to him a coin, tried to trick him. He said, whose face is on this? "Oh, Caesar's." If it was in the day, he said, "Whose face is on this?" "Oh, that's George Washington's." "Then he saith unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God things that are God's." Let me kind of sum it up for you. Pay your taxes. That's it. Pay your taxes. Don't gripe while doing it. I'm not going to go there. I'm telling you, that's why I had a problem putting this together, all right? Number two, As Christians, we are to live as free citizens, yet as servants of God. Let's look at verse 16. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So, how are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to live a good citizen? Number one, honor all men. Respect all citizens as your fellow citizens. I watched dialogue between Bill Maher, I guess I'm saying his name correctly, and Mike Huckabee. Now, Bill Maher is as anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-religion as one can get. In fact, when we were at T4G, a man came out the first night, gave his testimony, and came to know the Lord as a result of watching Bill Maher. And watched his attack on Christianity. Now, this guy was not a believer yet, but he watched Bill Maher attack Christianity and got mad about it and began to investigate Christianity. And got saved because Bill Maher. Yeah. But I watched Huckabee and Bill Maher dialogue with each other, and I really expected to watch this and watch Huckabee just really rake him over the coals and Bill Maher really try to rake him over the coals. But you know what? They were civil with each other. And Maher even said, he said, I respect you and I respect your belief. I respect that. You know what? You can, John Wooden, the great coach of UCLA, said this. You can disagree with someone without being disagreeable. We can disagree with people who do not agree with us politically. They do not agree with us in our faith. But you know what? You can still respect them. And they can still respect you. You can still be civil with each other. So listen, honor all men. Respect all citizens as your fellow citizens. Why? Because they are created in the image of God. Because they have a soul. Because of the contribution to our economy and our nation. And because of, this is the most important, because of the gospel. Did you know that as a believing citizen of America, you can live out the gospel of being a citizen in front of your unbelieving co-workers? Live out the gospel through being a good citizen of your nation. Pastor Bill was sharing this with, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he was sharing with me yesterday of how Hussein in Iraq had, who was it? Give me the... Wow, what a testimony. What a testimony. Sad to say, that is probably not in America. We try to cheat every way we can. We try to cheat on our income taxes. We try to cut corners. We try to cheat every way we can. Live out the gospel by being a good citizen. Next thing is this, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. And this is regardless of color or nationality. Love the brotherhood. love your fellow brother in Christ, regardless of what color they are or regardless of what nation they come from. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Fear God. Recognize that God is holy. That is one major problem that I have with the emergent church, and that is that they do not regard God as God. They do not regard the holiness of God. Listen, when you come to a realization of how holy God is and how much He hates sin, you'll have a fear of Him. And when I say fear, I mean an awe of respect. That He is God and we're not. But fear God. God's will and His commandments are to always be obeyed. Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Lastly, number four, honor the king. Honor. The president of the United States walks in, we're to stand. May not agree with him politically. May not even like him personally. But you stand. And you call him president. And I'll be honest with you, I'm preaching to myself here by just referring to him as his last name. But I'll be honest, when President Bush was President Bush, I never called him, well, I did a few times, but very, very seldom did I refer to him as Bush. I referred to him as President Bush. I still, to this day, Ronald Reagan, I refer to him as President Reagan. And I call Obama, Obama. Not right. We're to honor him. He is the president. He is there appointed by God. We're to do the same for our governor. We're to do the same for our mayor. We are to respect them. We are to honor them. It bothers me when I hear a police officer referred to as a cop. That bothers me. They're there for our protection. You know, that bothers me. They are policemen. And by flippantly saying negative terms, calling them negative words, you know, that is not of God. We're to honor them. So let me give you some applications real quick. Number one, believers are to be a people of these four things: discipline, order, righteousness, and justice. Number two, believers are to be a shining example so that some may be won to Christ. Now let's go back to the historical aspect of things. Why is it that Roman citizens, when seeing Christians being tortured, came to know Christ? Why is that? Because they saw Christ being lived out through them. So let me challenge you. Let others see Christ lived out through you by your citizenry. By you being a good citizen. You know one way to do that? On May the 8th, go vote. And if you're in Section 45, vote for Dick Button. 44, I'm sorry. 45 is, who's that guy? Honey, you know him. You know the name, starts with an S. Yes, yeah, you know it. All right, thank you. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father, I just pray tonight that you would take this message and use it in some way. It is not the typical message that we usually have on a Wednesday night. I think it was more of a talk, more of just a discussion than was actually a sermon. But Father, I just ask and pray that you use it in some way. Help us, Father, to live out the gospel through our obedience to the government. Help us to love our nation. Help us to be obedient in our nation. Help us to when it comes time to vote for those that have a biblical worldview. And I pray, Father, that you would bring up in our school, in our church, in our community, that you would rise up young men, and in some cases, maybe some young women, that would love our nation, love our community enough to say, you know, I just want to get involved in the political process of our nation. I want to get involved. I want to run political offices that will help get our laws going towards a biblical worldview. Pray that you would do that. Father, I pray for this election coming up. I pray that us as believers will vote, not only vote, but vote right, especially in regard to the marriage amendment. Father, we pray for that. And Father, I pray that even those that are not believers, that when they do vote, they will vote the right way in that area, especially. And Father, we will accept whatever happens, but to be your will. And we will praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.